One time I was living in Colorado. I was in my 30s, been there about 10 years, and I decided I wanted to go to the beach. And I realized that the closest way to get to the beach was not to go to either Pacific or Atlantic from where I was in Colorado. It would be to go down south and hit the very northern tip of the Gulf of California. And there's nothing there. It is just deserted desert. So I packed a few things and jumped into my Dodge Colt and spent a few days in Arizona and then crossed over into Mexico. And to get to the northern part of the Gulf of California, there's no roads that go there. The only way to get there on a paved road is you have to go all the way down to Bahia Kino, which is a little bitty town, and then you'd have to go up north. But there's another tricky way, which I knew, on sand roads, and it takes you 6 hours on these sand roads to get to it. But I thought, okay, that's the way I'm going to do it. Even on my, it was in my Dodge Colt, which is really a stupid thing to do. So I'm going along, and there's the Seri Indian Reservation about halfway between the paved road and into the beach, all on these sand roads. And I was going through the Seri Indian Reservation, and there's hardly anything there. And there's just some people in this little cluster, and I stopped, and I was chatting along with them. And I realized I didn't have anything to give these people, and they were dirt poor. And I thought, well, I've been in Arizona for a few days, and I have some dirty clothes, and I've got some music tapes, and I've got some wood. You know, that was all I had. And so I asked him, I said, would you be offended if I gave you my dirty clothes? And they said, no. So I forked over my dirty clothes, and I went and got some music tapes out, and I gave them my music tapes. And I opened my wallet, and I said, this is how much money I've got. I said, I need 20 bucks, because on my way back, I'll have to stop at these little houses that sell gas out of those 50-gallon drums. And I said, I'll need that. I need 20 bucks, and then I'll get to the States and I can use my credit card. So I gave him everything. And this one lady came out. She was absolutely gorgeous. And she pulled this necklace off her. And I haven't worn this in like 30 years. But on the way out the door, I pulled it off the picture frame that I have it hanging on. And she gave this to me and gave me a kiss on the cheek. And I drove off. And I got to the beach. And went to sleep. Next morning, I got up and took this extremely long walk down the beach, and as I look back, I could see my, you know, my black Dodge Colt there against the sand. And on the way back, I'm walking back, and when I got close enough, I should have been able to see that car. I couldn't see it, and I just kept getting closer and thinking, well, I should be able to see this. And then I got spooked. I said, that car is not there. And I got a little closer, and I realized why I couldn't see my car, and that's because this huge industrial size, really, really old truck had parked right in front of it, and it was covered with sand. And so you couldn't see it, and it was covering up my car. And I went, what is that truck doing parked there? Well, it's okay. It's some of the people visiting. I get up there, and there's this man that is major drunk. And he comes up to me and he says, and then there's a whole bunch of people on the back of the truck, you know, way up kind of high. And he comes up and he says, we're going to kill you and we're going to steal your car. And he had a pistol stuck in his pants thing. And I go, I can't remember our reaction, but it probably was shocked, maybe. A little off kilter. And he bends over and his gun falls out. And, you know, I almost picked it up and handed it to him. So, you know, and about that time, this really big Indian guy that's up on the top comes down and he starts talking to this guy and pulls him aside. And the guy staggers back over to me afterwards. Says, okay, we're not going to kill you. We're not going to steal your car. And I'm like, wow, that was pretty swift. That was easy. So he says, but we're all going to camp with you tonight. And I'm like, oh, great. I get to camp with a bunch of murderers and thieves. This would be a good time. So I go to get, a little bit of food out of the back of my car to bring it home. They said, no, we're not eating any of your food. We're going to You're going to eat our food. Okay. So we eat, and then they all pull out their bottles, you know, start drinking. And I had a bottle of brandy in my truck or car, and I go over and I get it. And nope, we're not going to drink your liquor. You're going to drink ours. And I, okay. Well, I thought, well, this was probably the right time to get really drunk, you know, because that's what they were doing, and I had to fit in. So, I mean, I got stinking drunk that night. And I got up to go pee, and I went off to this one little area behind a rock, and this guy comes over, and he's going to pee too. And I said, he says, well, I'm going to tell you why we didn't kill you. And I go, why? He said, you know that big Indian guy that was up at the top and came down? I said, yeah. He's a Seri Indian, and when you came through his village, he saw you give every single thing you had away. He knew what you had. He knew you only had a $20 bill. And so what was the point of robbing you? And he came and said it wouldn't be right after you'd given everything you had to us. And I went, wow. So next morning, I wake up. I'd apparently gotten a tape and was listening to it in my car and falling out of the car head first into the sand with my body still sitting on the seat. And they were gone. And my glove compartment was open, which my wallet was right there. Opened it up. The $20 bill was still in it. They hadn't touched a thing. So what's the value of generosity? I would not be here, standing here, if it weren't for that.